Welcome back to Beauty Marks Podcast. My name is Elizabeth Savillon, and welcome to another episode where you can find anything from healing, educating, empowering women, and embracing your story. On today's episode, I am excited to do a part two of last week's episode. But before that, I will be reading a review. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to this podcast. All of that helps us to grow. And when you guys do leave a review, I love to read them. And so we have one from Melissa, which she said, "So much value in this podcast. I love how Elizabeth incorporates topics that are for all ages, all seasons, and everyone on her podcast. There is so much value in her conversations, and I'm so inspired by her." Thank you so much. Thank you, Melissa, for sharing that. That means so much. And I really hope that every week you do find value, no matter if you are single, in a relationship, if you are a mom, like whatever, as in womanhood, whatever journey you're walking through, that you can find some encouragement here. And I am excited to be back in the studio here at High Hello Labs. And if you haven't checked them out, make sure to do so. We are actually hosting an event this summer here, an in-person podcast panel recording. And so I will be sharing information soon. So make sure to be following me at Elizabeth Sabby, as She Cultivates Orlando, where we host women events and we talk all about cultivating community, friendships, and also becoming our best selves. So I want to apologize. I was sick this week, and so my throat is a little itchy and I feel a little congested. So if you hear me kind of like, just make sure if I need to drink some water, I will do so, because I wanted to talk about today's topic, but I know that sometimes like you hear that, so I apologize. I am taking some meds and trying to get better. But for this week, I wanted to do a part two on trauma bonds. I got a lot of great feedback, and it was really heartbreaking to hear how many women and men can relate to this topic, because it is so hard to break out of, as well as it is so heartbreaking to go through. And so as much as people were writing me and sharing their own experiences, which was validating, and I feel like a lot of people feel validated because they're like, I'm not the only one that has gone through that. And wow, you got out of it and you've been able to be okay after, because while you're in it, you feel so hopeless. And so it was really validating, but also encouraging. And it was just a reminder of how important we need to share our story. Sometimes it doesn't have to be on a platform like this. It can be with people that you share life with and do life with. And so for this episode, I wanted to talk about the isolation, the effects on your mental health, and how it all kind of starts and comes together when you are in a trauma bond. A lot of people, even in the comments of a video that I did, they were like, how do you, like, you feel like kind of tricked into it. Like, did you know that from the beginning? Like, why would you decide to stay in one of those relationships? And I feel like a lot of it is where the shame narrative comes from, of I should have left earlier. I allowed this, this, and this, and I still stayed. They did X, Y, and Z, and I still stayed. And that keeps you in that cycle. So that shame narrative is first the most important. When I was listening back to the episode of last week, that is really the underlying feeling that you feel, because you love this person so much. And this person knows that you love them so much. And they continuously keep hurting you, and they say, I'm sorry, and then you forgive them, but then they do it again. So that's manipulation. But that didn't start off that way. If you went on a date on the first date and they told you, I am going to gaslight you, manipulate you, lie to you, I'm going to make you feel super insecure, I'm going to never marry you, I'm never going to want anything more than you, I just want you for my convenience, you'd be like, thanks, but no, I'm good. And so that's not usually how it starts. How I started this relationship very young, I met this person at church. So when you think about already that narrative, people don't talk about that, that you can meet different kinds of people at church. Maybe they have been raised in church, they believe in God, but people's actions are still their free will and their character is still their own. And because I met this person at church, that also fed onto that fairy tale narrative that I had of, like, you know, God's in the relationship. Like, it's me, Jesus, and this person. We were serving together. We did Bible study and Bible Institute together for 2 years. We did Dave Ramsey's money course. And so we were working on that. I went to school debt free and that was a really big part. And this person helped me get my car and all these things that we kind of work through together to work and build together. So those were all those good moments, right? But as time passed on, those things that were, I was sharing last week, of those things that were happening, of comments or actions that were being taken in the beginning, it was hey, I don't feel comfortable with you having guy friends. All the guys, they have different intentions. It's different. But they don't change those things, So then you're it's a double-sided, the standards don't rely on both people, and so it's the expectations of you're allowed to do something but I'm not, and then if I bring something up then it's a problem. So you're told for such a long time that within those good moments of okay, you're building and hoping and they treat people nice, and then you're they're gonna treat me so nice, and that's not the case. And the way that they project themselves and into the world is that they're a good person, they're caring, they're nice, they're genuine, and people root for them. In the beginning of their relationship, I remember that people were Liz, why don't you give this person a chance? They're so kind, they're so persistent, they're so this and that. And I had gotten out of a relationship probably a year before that. I had gone through a breakup with an on and off relationship for 3 years, and I was in my single healing part of this after high school. And so I in the beginning was definitely not interested. I was just trying to have friends and all of that. But over time, other people's voices of look at how genuine they are, how sweet they are to you, they're your friend, they're persistent, they're there for you. And I started kind of changing that, maybe I should give this person a chance and I should be open to it and all of that. And so I feel like I was swayed a lot by also what other people thought. And I was okay, this person is different than anyone that I've ever dated before. This person is from church and they have good family values and all these things that at the time I prioritized so much, but it was just the external parts versus thinking of I'm still so young. I'm still so young. That stuff is shown through time, and anyone can show a facade, but it's really with time that you will see it. So I feel like that played out of also keeping me for so long because other people's perception of them. So then because I'm getting told that they're not like that with anybody else but me, I get them so upset. I'm the only person that they act like this with. If I didn't bring up those things, or I didn't act this way, or I didn't do this, then they wouldn't be like that. So if I stopped doing those things, then they wouldn't treat me like that. And so because that's the narrative, then I doubt my reality. Then it's so who you are outside is not who you are to me. But if I say it, will people believe that that's real? Because they look at this person and they're like, this person, what? No. And that is a huge part of the trauma bond and the narcissistic personality disorder, that other people don't see it and they have a lot of enablers. And people that I remember, even the breaking off process, that people would tell me literally word for word, hey, this person has been trying to reach out to you, and they say that you block them, but they really want you to forgive them, and they really want to talk to you, and they've changed, and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, have you read, have you heard yourself with what you said in the beginning? I have them blocked. Why would I block them? Why would I not talk to them anymore? Have you asked them what happened? Have they told you the whole story of what happened? Because if you really cared for me, you would be like, actually, you should leave her alone, buddy. You should continue living your life. A really big part of when I talked about them going MIA. So I had an anxious attachment. because of the inconsistency, the very like wanting to be super private, and like they always felt like you were trying to take control, and like you asked too many questions or X, Y, and Z. And so when they would go MIA, that was kind of like a punishment of you bringing up something or you annoying them or you being persistent and them needing space from you. But those periods, they would cause me to literally have a panic attack. Like I would freak out because I'm like, what happened? Not only of what they were doing, but it's like genuine concern of like, are you okay? I haven't heard from you. Are you alive? Like, and those things can be exaggerations, but when you're with someone and you care about them and you love them, you don't go 3 to 5 days without talking to them. Like you generally want to check in to be like, hey, I haven't heard from you. Like, are you okay? And I remember one time I brought it up and I was like, I just don't think that you understand that stuff gives me anxiety because I don't know if you're okay. And they're like, honestly, if something happens to me, you would see it on the news. If I got in an accident, then you would see the report. And I'm like, bro, you're my freaking boyfriend. Like, I don't want to know on the news if something happened to me. Like, that's invalidating my experience of like, I genuinely care about you and you know that I care about you, but you still don't want to do those things that in a relationship you do. You communicate and you share and all of that. I wasn't even tracking a location. I know like a lot of couples do that, but that wasn't what was our relationship dynamic. So I feel like all those things that were happening were examples of that high and low, highs and lows, and the inconsistency and the anxiety that it causes with your mental health, with your anxiety. I feel like I literally would like be shaking. Like, I'm like, oh my God, like after getting in a fight or after like they like stopped talking to me or they wouldn't answer my calls or text, it's like I would just feel it in my body, like literally shaking, like so tense, not being able to sleep or crying myself to sleep. And after so many cycles of that, it's like you literally, that affects your mental health. Like your relationships have a lot to do with how you show up in this world. Your relationship dynamics, as much as people say like, oh no, you keep your work where your work is and like, you know, your relationships, like you know that, and I've been there and I have seen other people when they're going through something in their relationship, like that can affect how they show up at work, how they show up as a friend, how they show up in their family. Like you just can sense that something's off. And so all these things do affect you, do affect your mind, your body, everything, the stress that you're putting on yourself. And so during those years, because it was an on and off cycle, and I shared in the past episode, which I just want to clarify, when I say that my life was consumed around this person, I feel like my energy and my mind was there because I love this person. I wanted it to work so bad. Like I wanted this person to love me back and be who they said that they were going to be, but then they continuously failed me in that. But also it's because I had put my hope and my kind of like my dreams kind of aside to be like, okay, I'm pursuing this, but at the same time, like I want this to work with you. I have been in therapy on and off for the past few years and have embraced looking for help when I need it. I have found so much support with questions on dating, family dynamics, and how to set boundaries, as well as even healing my childhood trauma. Therapy has been life-changing for me to be able to talk to someone about things that we all go through and gain tools by professionals to help navigate life. That's why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, BetterHelp. BetterHelp's mission is to make therapy more affordable and more accessible to us all, so you can even do it from your phone or your computer. BetterHelp is a platform that makes finding a therapist easier because it's online, it's remote, and by filling out a few questions, BetterHelp can match you with a professional therapist who has years of experience helping people in as little as a few days. It's easy to sign up and get matched with a therapist today. Follow the link BetterHelp.com/BeautyMarksPodcast. By clicking that link, it helps support the show, but it also gets you 10% off your first month of BetterHelp. So consider online therapy from the comfort of your own home with BetterHelp. Better, H-E-L-P. Click the link in the description or visit BetterHelp.com/BeautyMarksPodcast. Thank you again, BetterHelp, for supporting this podcast. Now back to the show. So even though my mind and my heart was like consumed with like, I wanted to make it work. I was still working on my dreams. I was in college getting my bachelor's degree. I had moved out of my parents' house in my apartment, and I even had a point that I had three jobs. So it's like I was still doing stuff. I was still working on myself, on my goals and my dreams. You know, I know in the beginning I wanted to be in journalism, and then, you know, I was very involved in different things, and I was involved in my church, and just like I was still doing stuff. So I was very like high functioning. Like I was always someone that like had goals and dreams. But I remember how slowly like this person started making me feel like I wasn't ambitious. And I remember there was an argument that we had because he told me that he's like, I feel like, you know, some people just have it and some people don't. And I feel like you're not an ambitious person. And it really offended me because I'm over here like I am living on my own. I have a degree. I'm working in my field at like 22, 23. I was making good money. And I was very independent. I was not dependent on anybody, on him, on my parents. Like I was literally on my own. And the fact that this person was telling me this as a way to like make me feel less and inferior to them, to be like, yeah, but like it's still not good enough. Like what you're doing. And they were huge about like me being independent and not dependent of them. And so that was never like an option. Like that was never like, oh, I'm going to take care of you. Like, no, it's like I paid for my stuff. Our dates, a lot of them I paid for my stuff or for him when he was working on his projects. So I would always put those things first, but I was still doing really well in my own stuff. I was going on trips with my job and I was doing really well. And so through the years of him working on his stuff and like me supporting the things that he was doing, I felt like I was in like in that saving helping mode. And so it was like, okay, like let me help you with your resume. Let me help you with this. I was the one with the degree. I was the one with different things. And I was really out of a place of love, like we're building together. But when they would talk about their future, it was like, oh, I'm doing this. I want to do this. Like, and that's what started like hurting more, because when they would talk about their plans, they wouldn't include me in them. They weren't like, yeah, in the next 2 to 3 years, I'm going to get married or I'm going to have a house with you or we're going to do this. It was like, I'm going to do this. And what are you going to do? And it was like, well, I'm in this relationship with you. So hopefully something with you. I saw a post of like my 2019, like what where I would want to be in 5 years. And that was the year that we broke up. But well, one of the multiple times we broke up, but that was kind of like one of our big breakups. And in 2019, I had put, I want to be debt free, be like financially well, travel, have my own house, have my own podcast or some kind of YouTube, and be married and have a family. So that was 5 years ago. And that was still like where my head was. During that time too, because we had been together for so many years, there was a lot of codependency, but also like enmeshment in our lives. So like in our friends, in our church, in everything. And then I would say I felt even more stuck because then I brought them into my job. So I was working in corporate with a company right after college, doing like marketing events. And I wanted this person, right, to see them win. I saw that they were struggling with some stuff and I believed in them. Like I genuinely believed in them. And I was like, I want to help. How can I make it? So I made all the connections, brought them to work at my company. We got our real estate license. And I do have my real estate license. And I got this person into my company as my partner. And I connected them. I feel like I put them, I tried to help them in a way of love because I was with this person. Like this was my boyfriend for years. And so I'm like vouching for this person, you know? And after time, this person really switched up. And I believe that that was like God showing me like who this person really was, you know, another part, another layer of that. because they started changing a lot. They started changing their values, certain things that they did and how they were, and just kind of like how they felt like they made it, you know, now that they didn't need me anymore. But it's like that feeling of like you feel like you helped build and you helped them because you cared about them, and then they just discard you because they don't need anything from you anymore. And that's how I felt during that time, because you know, it was so hard working with this person and seeing them and then knowing how they like were like, hey, like, you know, I'm gonna go out to drink with like my friends like every single day. But then it was like to make plans with you, it would be like, oh, I'm so tired, it's been such a long day. And like you're like, great, that's awesome. Oh, you're making money now. Oh, that's cool. Like it just felt like, because you knew that they didn't value you anymore, and it was just so painful to like hear it and be reminded of it and be like, hey, if you have some time, hey, if you can, like, okay, I have to understand about your schedule. And then people would tell me stuff that they saw or that they would hear, and I was like, I feel so stuck here. I feel like we're literally together, we're working together, this was the worst mistake of my life. Like, I feel like, why did I do this? And so when we broke up while working together, that was so difficult, because I would still see this person and I was trying again to break off that trauma bond of like, I don't want to be with you. Clearly, you're continuously showing me that you don't want anything, and just let me be, leave me alone. Like, that was always my thing of like, if you don't want to be with me, hey, I give a lot of respect to men that they're honest. And they're like, hey, honestly, I'm not there right now. Or honestly, I don't see this. As hard as it is to like muster the words and the courage, but I'm telling you, for a woman, sometimes it's the best thing to know if you're not ready for her or you don't want to be with that person, let them go. Let them go and let them find and be okay by themselves. Let them go flourish somewhere else. Versus trying to hold on for selfish reasons of like, no, I still want you. Or I want, no, I don't want you, but I don't want anyone else to have you. So it's a control thing. It's a trying to make sure that you get in a relationship first, or you feel like you have someone on the back end before they do. I remember how many times this person would be like, you have someone else, don't you? Or like, you're gonna get with someone else. And I'm like, I'm not even thinking about someone else. No, like I have no will or desire to be with someone else right now, because I am literally traumatized from this. Versus this person that would say that they were going to be like alone forever and all this sort of stuff. Like they clearly cannot have been alone for 1 second. Like they have not been alone for 1 second. So it just shows you like the manipulation and the mind games that go in these kind of relationships, that you always feel like it's like a power dynamic that you have to like eventually be like, I'm done playing this. Like you're playing this by yourself, but I'm not going to be part of it. So I've never like admitted to this, but I feel like I needed to. A really big part of me not going back, like how I said before, was changing a lot of things, changing like my circle, friends, my church, and as well as changing my job. I had worked in this position and I was doing well. And when COVID happened and we broke up and I had to move back home, they kind of like sent us home like, hey, we will need like 2 months off. Like, you know, the world was kind of like shifting and changing during those years. Or during those months. And so they let us go home and they're like, hey, we'll call you guys back. And how we were working at the same company, I was like, okay, you're still working here. I'm not. And we were broken up. So then I was like, do I go back? A really big reason of why I did not go back to work there was because my ex was there. And I felt so stuck of everything together, and there was no way out. Like there was no way out. I was like, how am I going to see, be, and not go back? It's so hard. Like it's so hard to work with your ex and have them there all the time. And so I made the decision. I remember praying and I was like, God, like, do I go back? Like they're offering me more money. They're telling me this, that they need me. I don't have a plan B. So what do I do? And I just felt such like a clear like peace and a sense of like, don't go back, Liz. That ended so that you can start again. This is your chance. Like, this is your window to get out and stay out. And that's what I did. And it was very difficult because I had enjoyed like what I had been doing. And I had, you know, I felt like, again, like that was something that was mine, you know, that I was like, that was my job. That was my space, you know, and I couldn't do that anymore. And I felt like I had to. That's why I always say the starting of my life all over again, because it literally felt like I had to change everything to get away and protect myself, you know? And for some people, that can be an exaggeration, but unless you've been through it, you don't know. And I remember how many people would be like, I would never allow someone to treat me like that. I would never. If he says that one time, I would leave. Yeah, until you're there. And until you don't feel the confidence and security and you feel stuck and you feel very alone and you feel anxious or depressed and you feel like you're the only one experiencing this. Because in my group at the time, it was everyone's getting married. Everybody was from like youth group and all of that. Like people were starting their lives and commitment, and they were going on to the next step, and they were so excited and so happy. And like, I was like, oh, is anybody else? Anybody else? Like, blink twice if anybody else is experiencing this, because you feel like you're the only one. And you're like, what's wrong with me? Like, why can't this person like treat me okay? Like, why? And because when we would break up, there was enablers and people that would talk or like be in my ear about like, you know, like you guys have been together so long, like you guys are so cute together, this and that. I would be like, maybe, again, self-doubt of like, maybe it's on me. But that isolation of that feeling, you know, where it starts affecting your mental health and all of that is real. And a part of it that you feel ashamed to even share it with your close friends. I didn't start sharing with people, like, honestly, like, until later years. And even to get out of it, I started being honest because I couldn't go back. Like, I needed someone to keep me accountable. And I'm like, honestly, this is exactly what's going on. And I need you to not. Like, I don't want to answer, and I don't want to go and see them, and I don't. And but I keep, like, doing it. So it's like, I need to stop myself. So I'm going to tell you because I need you to keep me accountable to this. And another huge part of what I talked about last week is like just the feeling of feeling alone, because you literally feel like you are, and you are going through that alone, but also because you're vouching for this person and you're like championing this relationship and you're trying to believe like the people that are against your relationship are then the quote unquote haters, or the ones that are like against you and them. So when it comes to my family, which I had shared it before, but I've felt so emotional about it because, and I still get emotional about it because I literally really hurt my family during this time. After the years kept going on, in the beginning, they were like, oh my God, yes, we love this relationship. We're so happy for you. But then over time, they would see that, you know, me crying. I was living with them. So they would see me sad and they were like, oh, like, we hate this for you. Why is this happening? This is giving red flags. Like, I don't think that this is good for you. Like, I see that you're always like chasing and pursuing, and like, you're always going where he's going, and like, you're always like, he's not really putting the same investment anymore. And so I feel like something's off. And then when we broke up, my parents kind of got involved and they met up with this person and they told them like, hey, pretty much if you don't want to be with my daughter, like, and you're not going to guard her heart, like, leave her alone, like, walk away. And I'm so grateful for my parents because I feel like I know that they tried, like, help me. And even when I got out of the relationship, I remember my mom was like, I wish I would have like like saved you. Like, I wish I would have, like, in those moments in like year three, been like, no, you're not gonna, you know, go and you're not gonna do it. But I still did it. And I feel like she couldn't have. I feel like I was so in it so much already, and I had to like learn. But I really hurt my parents, because I moved out in a really bad way. I felt like they were against my relationship and they were like hating on it. So then I was like, I'm gonna do this by myself. And so this person started making me, like, getting in my ear about, like, you know, your parents don't like me, so I don't want to be around them. So literally for 3 years, this person never came around my family. For my graduation, this person did not go. And we were together. We were in a relationship. I was graduating with my bachelor's. And he didn't go because my parents were going to be there and my family was going to be there. And that was so hard, too, because, again, like, I'm doing these things and I'm, like, starting, like, I don't know. It was just, I think now I just realized that, like, how many, of course, clear signs, but how much betrayal I was doing and hurting myself and minimizing my stuff. Like, I had literally finished my whole bachelor's, working 3 jobs, had my own apartment. Like, that's a huge thing. Like, I'm first generation, graduated debt free, like, all these things. And it was clouded by the fact that my boyfriend did not go to my graduation. And that was very painful, you know? And, like, yeah, my parents were there, my family, but, like, in the back of your head, like, of course you want the person that you're with to be there and to celebrate you. So it was, like, holidays, birthdays, nothing. Like, he would not go. He's like, I'm not going to be there. I don't want people that don't like me to make me feel a certain way, so I'm not going to go. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to force you. But definitely should have been like, actually, then we're good. Because now I feel like I'm so thankful for my parents, my family, that I'm like, if y'all don't like him, sorry. Like, if my parents, they mean so much to me and they literally helped me so much and pretty much saved my life. And so they knew it before I did. That's why you got to listen sometimes to your parents, even though they don't always get everything right. But, like, my parents were always right. And I feel like the other part of that, of how painful it was, and again, it's not the pain of, like, oh my God, of this person. It's more of, like, for myself, because I had to forgive that part of myself. Because you would think, right, like, that happening is like, oh my God, absolutely not. No, it continued. There was, like, a love letter written that I caught this person while I was, like, helping them clean their room, and I found a love letter that he had written to someone else. And there was multiple things that kept happening, and I would just be like, God, show me a sign, show me a sign. And it was like, this one and this one and this one. And I was like, one more thing, if just one more thing, you know. And so because of that, over time, the isolation of, like, my parents, my siblings, my sisters, my friends, you start feeling so isolated and alone, because then you start being like, oh my God, how the heck am I still with this person? Like, I really don't know. And they would ask me, like, Liz, what do you like about this person? Like, what do you guys, like, what does he do for you? Like, what do, I'm like, well, we go on dates. Like, we, you know, we hang out and we talk and, you know. But I, like, really couldn't name, like, aside from bare minimum stuff, like, what it was. Like, I just felt attached. Like, I knew that I shouldn't go back, and I didn't want to go back, but I would always end up there. Like, I feel like I needed that person so bad to, like, be and validate me. But yeah, and so one of the last things with, like, my family, is that even when I moved back in with my family and my parents, which I see now that that was, like, my safe place, like, that's what needed to happen to protect me from going back, because he wasn't going to show face with my family. So clearly he's not going to just show up at my house. But during that time, we were still in that, like, on and off breaking, whatever. And then there was a trip that was, you know, planned with this person. We weren't together. And it was kind of like going on this trip with this person to, like, you know, just see things out and kind of not talk about anything, but have a good time. And I signed myself up for it. And I was like, sure, I am going to go to this. Long story short, I go to this trip. My parents find out. It is a huge thing. My parents, my siblings, they're like so mad at me. And they're like, I cannot believe you're going. Like, did he kidnap you? Are you okay? Like, why are you there? Like, I thought y'all just broke up. And I'm like, you just don't understand. Like, leave me alone. Like, I'm going to live my life. Like, horrible. And I did that. And I remember on our way back from the trip, I remember that I had messed up the relationship with my family. I had literally told them to leave me the hell alone. And I remember coming back from this trip, I felt so much anxiety, so much guilt. I'm like, why did I come on this trip? I'm literally suppressing all my emotions. I was literally crying in the bathroom and being like, why the hell am I here? Because I couldn't talk about any problems in the relationship. So it was like, we're just chill, you know? And then I end up coming back, and on their way back, he's like, man, I feel so bad for you. Like, you, like, we're not together and you don't have me, and now you don't have your family. And I literally was like, what did I just do? He's like, because I don't want to be in a relationship. And like, honestly, I don't think that I want to be in a relationship. And I'm like, I just went on this trip and literally messed up the relationship with my family for you, because I thought this was going to help us. And you're telling me that you don't want to be in a relationship with me, and that, like, pretty much good luck with your family, because that sucks. So, yeah, those are some examples of hard things that I did. And that's why, like, when I, every time I talk about, like, my family or, like, what I did to them, was something that I've had to forgive myself, because I know how much, like, pain I caused them. Even me leaving the house, my parents would be like, you're gonna go off and get married, and like, are we even gonna be invited if you go off and, like, you know, elope or you do something, like, because I was so, like, for this person. And every time I would be like, no, like, you don't understand, like, he's changed, like, we're working towards things. And then it would go back. And then after, when they would ask me about him, like, everything's great. Everything's great. We're doing great. We're working on it. We, you know, he's just busy today. That's why he's not here. I would always try to protect him from them, like, to make it seem like I wasn't wrong for the choice that I made of going back. So, yeah, that betrayal of self and the shame and the things that you do and who you become in that is so unhealthy. And so I'm sorry if you've gone through that, because that is a lot. And I know, like, people sharing a lot of the stuff that has happened, like, with them, I'm like, we really tolerate a lot, but it's from the sense of, like, you're just so wanting this to work and happen. And so that's why. So when they say that, you know, when you're done, like, keep going back to, like, eventually be like, you're done. Like, I feel like that's what I did. Like, I had to go back a million times for more things to happen, which really affected me emotionally and mentally. In 2019, I had high functioning anxiety and depression. I have shared on here before. A really big reason of that was my relationship and, like, literally my whole life just changing and shifting. And I remember feeling all these things. I started getting a rash on my body. I started, like, passing out in random spots. And that was just so much stress on my body that I was going through, while this person is living their life and great and feeling, and me just being like, I wish I can just detach myself. I wish I didn't care. Like, clearly if this person doesn't care, like, why do I care? But it was affecting me so much that literally I remember having very dark, like, suicidal thoughts of, like, you know, if something just happened to me, or, like, maybe, you know, I'm not lovable, you know, or, like, maybe if this person can't love me, like, who's gonna love me, you know? And, like, that feeling of, like, that hopelessness of feeling like you don't matter, you're alone in this, like, oh my God, you're 25. If you're ever gonna get married, or if you're ever gonna be with someone, like, how are you gonna tell people that you were in such a long relationship? Like, what's wrong with you? Like, that was my narrative all the time. Like, that was literally in my head all the time. And I was always like, oh my God, he's going to change and be so perfect for someone else. And, like, you see, it's going to prove to me that I'm not enough. And, like, you're so consumed in the energy of them. And so I remember the moment that my counselor was like, Liz, you're going to know when you're done. And when you're done, you're going to be done. Like, it's not even like a maybe. You're going to be so done. And that day happened. It literally happened in 2021. And I was like, I'm done. It was like, I joke about it, but it was literally, like, I feel like my 25-year-old frontal lobe was fully formed. And I feel like I finally was like, what the heck am I doing? Like, absolutely no, I don't want this. Absolutely not. I was like, where do I want to be a year from now? How do I want to feel? I do not want to be in the same thing. So that was a decision I had to make every single day. And that's why I got into therapy. I started telling people the situation and I started being open and having accountability and going through changing my whole life because of how damaging that was to my mental health, to my physical health, and just all the signs to know that, like, I did not deserve this. Even though in the moment I did not believe that, I feel like I had to step out in faith to know that God had something different. So there's always scriptures that I, like, hold on to, you know, dear to my heart, and especially during this season. It was Genesis 50. It said, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I can save lives of many people." And I feel like during that time, it felt so hopeless, but also, like, I had hope that, like, it has to be better. And, like, I know that God is working it all together and he's going to heal me and he's going to help me to do this. And I would just literally be, like, the closest I've ever been to God during these moments. And I feel like that's how gracious he is. And I feel like God is so kind, because even though that was the most painful thing that I have gone through in that process, I feel like he's so gracious to me because I got out at 25 when I did. And I didn't go through more stuff. You know, it was already damaging enough, but, like, didn't go through more stuff. So all that to say is that I feel like God always redeems our story of our part, and just kind of starting to see it and call it for what it was, and that it wasn't healthy. It wasn't God-fearing or God-loving love. It wasn't healthy. And even as people would not see what I was going through or would protect this other person, I had to continue walking it out. And at the end of the day, like, God sees it all. God knows it all. God knows what we go through. And he was, even in my suffering, even in my pain that I felt during that relationship, like, he was there too. Like, he honestly was. And I remember of those moments where I felt depressed or, like, I felt very, just in so much pain. I know that I had no, like, I hadn't told anybody a lot of that stuff. And so I know that it was, like, God literally, like, with me. Because if not, maybe I wouldn't be here. Like, honestly, like, that's how bad it was. And so that's why I'm huge on mental health, is because not only do I know that that affects your whole life, but a lot of us struggle with it privately. And we feel a lot of shame and we feel a lot of hopelessness. And so even as a Christian, even as someone that believes in God and, like, all of that, like, you can still feel that. And coming from a faith-based background and believing these things, I sometimes even struggled with God to be like, it's not fair. But at the same time, like, I have seen how God has used it all. Like, God has used everything that I have experienced, that I have gone through, and that he's still using, you know, because he's still writing my story and he's still writing yours too. He is so just and so kind. And that's how I, even when I struggle of, like, certain things, I'm like, God, I know you got me. I know you see it all. And I know that you're working it out in the midst of it. So, yeah, I'm just a little emotional today. but yeah, so I hope that this is another part of, like, just showing you guys of how it all works on the back end of someone that has experienced it and that went through, when maybe you can ask yourself, like, why would you stay after so long? It's like, it affects you mentally, emotionally, with your all your relationships and even friendships. I know there were some friends that it was like, oh, that person doesn't like me or whatever. So then it's like, oh, cutting that person off, or I'm not going to hang out with that person. Like, so they're your circle is starting to get so small while theirs continues to grow. And while the people that champion them or all of that grows. But at the same time, you know that the more people that God started bringing into my life, which I believe, like, he brought people into my life at the right time. And even people that when I would want to go back or, like, had my doubts of stuff, literally, it was, like, people would come up to me and say, like, you know, like, I just got out of a, like, I just went through a divorce of 20 years with, like, a narcissist. And, like, they would tell me their story, and it was, like, exactly mine, but 20 years from now. And they would be like, but I just want you to know that, like, you made the right decision. And I'm like, okay. Like, it was so, like, I literally needed that, like, to be, like, hope. Like, okay, giving me that hope, like, you made the right decision, Liz. Like, you're not crazy. Like, you're good. So, yeah. So that is why I'm huge on faith, therapy, Jesus, community, because of my own journey. And I'm still in it, and I'm still walking through it. But I feel like now I have my freedom of being able to share it and to be able to have my own community and my own healing. And I have gone through a lot of healing. And even talking about it, even though I cry, I know that I'm healed. And literally someone told me from last week's episode, they're like, wow, the way that you shared it was with so much grace and so much peace that I'm like, girl, like, you're healing, like, you're healed, like, through that, like, the way that you share it is so different. And I was like, thank you so much. Because sometimes you're like, oh my God, how does it come off? But yeah, so I hope that this encouraged you. Thank you for listening to this. I know we're going to have two other episodes about toxic relationships with some guests, as well as another episode that I'll be sharing personally that I hope you feel encouraged by and you feel there is hope for you. If you need to chat, you can always hit me up, DM me. Those mean so much to me when you tell me how it impacts you and also how I can support you. So make sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave a review, and I will see you guys next week.